Thank you for coming this morning to hear the message of the gospel. If you have a Bible, let's turn to Luke. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. Lucas capítulo 16, versículo 19. Story of Lazarus and the rich man. Luke 16 and verse 19 says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. So that they which would pass from hence you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he might testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let him hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. That's all we're going to be reading this morning. So we have the story of Lazarus and the rich man. This is a pretty interesting story. The first point that I want to look at this is a question. Have you ever thought the way God looks or the way God sees your heart? What would you say about the way God sees your heart? You know, when we ask this question, a lot of times we get answers like, I am not as bad as this guy, or I am not perfect, but I'm not that bad either. But the way God sees your heart, it's in the Bible. What would you say? Do you think God sees your heart as just or unjust? You see, God has a standard, and that standard is perfection. And to be honest with you, that's a really, really high standard, because I'm sure that none of us could meet that standard, because we all have failed in one way or another. And that's just no secret to everybody, to anyone, sorry. Have you ever committed a sin in your life? Well, that sin is short of God's standard. God is holy, and that means that sin cannot be in his presence. God is holy, and it means that we as sinners cannot be in his presence. That is the standard that God has, because God is holy and we are not holy. So there is a problem there with us, because there is a gap a separation between man and God, and that is the sin. Now, that is something that is not subjective. It means that it doesn't change from person to person. It's not like, I think you are doing something wrong. It's not that we think that you are a sinner. That is something that comes from God itself. It's something that it's on the Bible. The Bible tells us that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's something that is not, that wasn't invented by one of us or by one man. It's not a religion. It's not something that was created. In order to be judged, there has to be a judge. There has to be an outside being that can decide whether this is right or whether this is wrong, whether you are just or unjust. And that judge is God himself. And as we know, God is a perfect God. He is a righteous judge. So if the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, if you sin, that's where you're going to get. Death. And I know it sounds scary, perhaps, or exaggerated, but it's not. Because that's just the way God put it in his word. God is holy, and we are not. And we deserve a punishment for our sins. God is a righteous judge. What do you think he thinks about your heart? Your soul? Would it be just or unjust? The Bible says we all have sinned. We're all unjust. Could you think of a person that hasn't committed a sin, that hasn't failed in some way? Perhaps you could think of someone that is really good, but he also has a flaw in his life. We all have come short of the glory of God. Now, going back to the story of Lazarus, we read that he was laying at the gate of this rich man. God was aware of the condition of Lazarus. He knew that he was homeless. He knew that he was sore. He knew that he wished that he could be fed with the crumbs that fell from the table of the rich man. He knew the condition of Lazarus. He knew how his heart was. He also knew, God was aware of the condition of the rich man that was busy like eating and just enjoying life. He knew the condition of this rich man. He was aware of his condition. And God is well aware of your condition too this morning. He has a record of everything that you've done since you were born. All the good things and the bad ones. He knows your heart. He knows your condition. He is well aware of your condition. Just as he was with Lazarus and the rich man. But the most important point in here is, are you aware of your condition? Are you aware of the condition that you are before God? Do you have your sins forgiven? Or are you lost? There are two kinds of people in this world. The lost and the forgiven. No doubt, I don't say the lost and the good people. Because the forgiven, those who are forgiven, we're not good people. We don't deserve it. To be forgiven, it means that even though you sin, that even though you don't deserve it, that even though you fail every day, just by grace and out of love, God has forgiven your sins. Are you forgiven or are you lost? God sees our hearts unjust, contaminated by sin. But are you forgiven or are you lost? Have you ever stopped to make things right with God? Have you ever had that moment when you stopped on your thoughts and your everyday routine and make things right with God? Are you saved? These two men had one thing in common. They both died. They both died. The rich man went to hell, as we read. And Lazarus went to heaven. Now, Lazarus didn't go to heaven because he was poor or because he was suffering. And the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich or because he had money. The rich and the poor and everything, everyone in between, are going to face death sooner or later. You are going to face death sooner or later. You know, there was this guy. He had terminal cancer, and he was diagnosed with a few days of living. So he went to schools and he was talking about Christ and how life is going to end sooner or later. There was this kid, this teenager, and he was making fun of him and just mocking him. So the guy with cancer approached him and he said, "You know, the only difference between you and me, we both are going to die. The only difference between you and me is that I know when I'm going to die." And that's really something to think about. Because when we see someone like with cancer and we think, oh, they're going to die, sometimes we forget that we also are going to die. And the thing is that we don't know when. I mean, you could be listening to the message of the gospel right now, and it's pretty scary that if you don't receive Christ as your Savior tomorrow, you could be remembering the same message but from hell, like this rich guy here. He turned to God and he said, "I am tormented. Please send Lazarus and to dip his finger in water so I can refresh my tongue, because I am tormented in this flame." He was begging for mercy in the lake of fire, but it was too late. You see, when you die, the opportunity is over. You've had, I don't know how many years, but you've had a lot of years of opportunity, maybe 50. I am 22. I've had 22 years on this planet. And that's how long I've had the opportunity to accept Christ. But I don't know about tomorrow. It's pretty scary to think that I am talking to you right now, but tomorrow you could be passed into eternity. There are thousands of people passing into eternity every day. Death is something that is going to happen to all of us. Sooner or later, we all have our days counted under this sun. Death is, it could be a really delicate topic to talk about, because you could be really sensitive to it, or you could be totally indifferent. It's not the same to say that someone died over there in Russia than to get a call saying that one of your relatives just passed. It's just how close death is to you that makes you realize that you could be so close to death. And death, with death comes the end of the opportunity. Right now you're hearing the message of the gospel, and you could be safe right now if you are not. Because if you passed tomorrow, you will no longer have the opportunity. There are two kinds of people in this planet, the lost and the forgiven. Which one are you? Do you have your sins forgiven? Could you look back and say, oh, I remember this date. I turned to God and I asked him for mercy and I received Christ as my Savior. Do you have that day? If you don't, that means that you are not forgiven yet because you haven't asked for forgiveness. What's the condition of your soul? Are you lost or are you forgiven? I hope that if, like Glenn said one time, if you forget everything that I've talked about this morning, I just want you to remain to keep that question in mind. Am I lost or am I forgiven? What's the condition of your soul? We could see the priorities in this example that we have in the Bible of the rich man. His priorities were making banquets every day, eating well, enjoying life. He was distracted by all of this. What are your priorities right now? Are you distracted by work, perhaps? Sports, friends? Is God one of your priorities? Is God part of your life? Sometimes we think that, or we can forget that we're not eternal in this planet, that we're going to die. I think the oldest person alive is like 130 years old. I mean, that's a really long time to live. But I think most of us are not even going to make it to half his age. But let's say you live 130 years on this planet, enjoying life, doing whatever you want. Is it worth it? Can you compare 130 years to eternity? Let's say you spend 130 years doing banquets every day, not worrying about a thing, enjoying life. And then death comes, and you wake up in the same situation as the rich man. In hell. You could spend another 130 years in hell. And then another 130 years in hell. And then 1,030 years in hell. And it would just keep going. Like it won't stop. It's eternity. Whatever you do in this planet is not worth it if you lost in eternity. What's your condition right now? Thank God because you are hearing the gospel message. It is not something that I made up. I didn't graduate from universities to teach what the Bible says. It's just plain and simple. It's in the Bible. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. All you have to do is believe. To be forgiven, what do you need to do, or how can you be forgiven? I'm glad that the Bible says that you just have to ask for it. Because you don't have to do anything, really. Because everything is already done. The sacrifice for your soul was already paid 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. To be forgiven, you just need to ask for forgiveness. Stop. Repent from your sins. And ask for forgiveness to him who died on the cross for you. There's nothing else really to do. People think that you need to do sacrifices, that you need to go to certain places, that you need to give money, that you need to be a good person to go to heaven. But no. All you have to do, the Bible says, is trust in him who died for you on the cross because he already paid the price for you. Everything is already done. Years ago in my bed, as a kid, I turned to God and I realized these things. Everything is already done. God created me. God loved me. And He made the sacrifice for me. All I have to do is receive the gift that He is offering. All you have to do is believe. Because there is a consequence to your sin if you don't have it forgiven. Hell is a real place. We read it in the Bible. The rich man wanted to go out of hell just to tell his brethren about this place. But God said, they have Moses and the prophets, meaning they have the Bible. And this idea was what brought me to this passage. Because I was thinking, what do I need to do to... Or how can I explain the message of the gospel so that you could believe it? Then I remember that we have the Bible. There's really nothing else to add to the Bible, to the message of the gospel. You don't need someone to come from the dead to tell you what it is like. Because we have a message right here. We have God's word. And it is really simple. You just have to believe on Him that did the sacrifice. It is simple to us. It wasn't simple at all for Him. For God, God had to give His only begotten Son. And He had to suffer on the cross, hanging, nailed to the cross, bleeding, naked. He was mocked. He had been in heaven for eternity, without contamination of sin. He left all His glories up in heaven and He came to this earth. He was born of a virgin and He grew up in this planet full of sin to finally die on the cross and pay your sins and pay my sins. The price was really high, but for us it's free. For you it's free. Are you forgiven? Or are you lost? Do you have your sins forgiven? That is something that you really need to ask yourself. That's something that you can't lie to yourself. If death comes to you this day and you close your eyes in this earth, where would you open your eyes? Up in heaven or in hell like this rich man that we read? Opportunities right now. You have the opportunity in your hands. Tomorrow we don't know. And all you have to do is trust in Him that died for your sins. You don't have to come to the front. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to tell me anything. Because I am not the one who's going to save you. It's between you and God. There's nothing really I can make or do to make you safe, to make you go to heaven. It's something personal yet that you have to do between you and God. God is an almighty God. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking. He knows if you are forgiven or not. All you have to do is talk to Him. And repent from your sins. Ask Him for forgiveness. We don't deserve it. Because we are sinners. The Bible says that we are unjust. All of us. Not because I have a suit makes me a better person than you. Or just because this guy has more money. This guy is poor. We're all the same. We're all sinners. We're all unjust. The only difference... The only difference is if you are lost or if you are forgiven. Rich people will go to heaven. Poor people will go to heaven. Same thing to hell. There's no difference in that. The only thing that matters is whether or not you are forgiven. God is well aware of your sins and your soul. But the thing is, are you aware of that? I hope that today you could remember today as the day that you receive Christ as your Savior. You will no longer have the opportunity once death comes and you don't know when you're going to die. So today is a day of opportunity. Let us pray. Our Father, we enter once again in thy holy presence, and we want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have today to hear the message of the gospel. We want to thank thee, Lord, for how Christ made the sacrifice so that we could be forgiven. We want to thank thee, Lord, for allowing us to be here. And we ask thy blessing on the rest of the day that we could return safely to our home. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.